Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. The man's forgotten more about basketball than you'll ever know, probably more about music as well. It's Tim Lacombe, kind enough to join us. Timmy, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
What's going on, fellas?
Wishing we had your hair.
That's true. Yeah.
How often do you put product in it and look at it in the mirror and treat it to a good
time?
You just
sit in the bathroom and just stare at your hair for like long periods of time?
I treat it like you guys treat something on the Traeger, you know?
I hope you don't eat it that way.
No, I don't eat. I look at it that way. I'm fairly obsessed with it right now. It's kind of a renaissance for me.
Is the missus down with the? The longer hair.
Well, it's taken a little bit of sales job on my part. You know, I keep pushing out the timeline on it. But COVID keeps changing. You know, I got to have this one time for a rock show where I actually can bash my head around and hair flies.
I'm just looking at pictures of Eric Mika. Eric Mika had some good hair. Do you your hair like Eric Mika sometimes?
Not sure. I never studied Eric's his hair.
You never really studied Eric's hair?
No.
Who was, in your opinion, outside of Jimmer, who were three or four of the best basketball players to come through the program while you were at BYU?
Hair-wise or, like, actual players?
Players, game-wise.
You kind of segued
and
on
hair
me.
And hair-wise.
You segued on me. I was just trying to make sure I was following. Man, that's tough, dude. You know, you start putting names on things, and then you start getting dirty texts and I know Tavon Ari does. You know, he listens to this.
Right? Oh yeah, so JT listens a lot.
If I don't say his name, you know, then I've got issues.
Yeah, but you're not saying it just to say. He really was one. Let's say that.
He was a great one. He was a great one. He was kind of a Jordan Clarkson type guy for us. You know, in fact, I was telling Coach Rose the other day that Coach Rose was playing the way the Jazz are playing now before it was cool to do so.
Oh yeah. You know,
I remember going out recruiting junior colleges, and people are like, how in the world do you let your guys take that many threes? You know, you shoot the ball so fast, and does it drive you crazy? Lo and behold, that's kind of where the game has gone to, right? And Coach Rose just kind of took Guy Lewis's philosophy of flying up and down the floor to a whole new level. And then, you know, we weren't taking 50 threes a game or even 30 for that matter. So, you know, the game's evolved a ton in 10 to 15 years.
You know, it's interesting. I remember saying back in the day, and this shows you how long ago it was, that J.C. Carroll probably would have been better off at Utah or at BYU, and Brandon Davies may have been better at Utah State just based on the head coaches at the time and their skill sets.
Yeah, I know Brandon. You know, Brandon came pretty close to doing the Utah State thing, I think. Obviously, Craig Drury, he and Stu were best men at each other's wedding, and that was Brandon's high school coach.
Yeah, Provo.
So we had some serious, you know, and then Craig obviously is a great big man coach himself, so he kind of got Brandon started, and Stu, you know, he's going to kind of funnel him there. And we had to fight like crazy not to let that happen, and thank goodness we didn't. But yeah, looking back on it, it'd be crazy to think of if Brandon would have played with one of the Wesley boys, that would have been pretty scary.
Yeah. But just, you know, JC was the only guy that could keep him under 20 was Stu Morrill. So,
exactly. Feed the post, JC.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about one of the, look, you've seen a lot of great games. You've seen a lot of great finishes. And I'm not going to ask you, is this the greatest NCAA game you've ever seen? But holy smokes, how much fun was that Gonzaga-UCLA game?
Man, it was great, and it really does fit in if you think about some of the great NCAA endings. Obviously, you go straight to Kentucky and Duke, right, and the Leitner shot. And but the one I think about often is kind of a creative, you know, the Valpo Bryce Drew play. I was watching that live when they beat Ole Miss, and they threw it to half court, and then just kind of threw it to the big, and then he just kind of popped it over to Bryce, who was cutting toward the three-point line, But it's crazy because we were sitting in the studio watching the Jazz game, and it was the end, you know, toward the end of the Jazz game, and it was getting quite out of hand. Well, it was out of hand early. So we had another TV, and we were kind of watching both, and Tuzan gets that put back, and it reminded me so much, the timing and everything reminded me of the Delva Dagger, you know, when yeah. St. Mary's beat us similarly. But I knew they were in trouble because Suggs ran right to the forefront of the rim and got the ball, and he's really fast with the ball. And so as he got it, I said to Jake, he's going to make this. Because I could tell he's going to get down the floor, man. And he did, you know, on two dribbles and whatever, 3 seconds, he got all the way to, you know, right in front of the coaching box on the other side. And when he rose up, I said, Jake, it's going in. And for I'll be darned if it didn't. And the best part, the best picture is him celebrating with all those cardboard fans. You know, I think that's one of the most fitting shots of the year. But, yeah, it'll definitely be between now and the end of time, it'll be one of the shots that they show coming in and out of breaks, you know, for the NCAA tournament.
How does that set up Gonzaga for the championship game tonight against Baylor? An emotional overtime big shot victory like that against UCLA. What type of emotion or energy or exhaustion are they taking into the game tonight?
I think it's, you know, at least from my experience, you know, the team that's supposed to win it, they're going to typically go through, you know, a game where they really do kind of have to wrestle it away. And the unfortunate part of the whole thing was that I thought UCLA played a perfect game. You know, I thought they played an absolute perfect game. Even down to that last possession of regulation when Timmy took the charge, I loved that Cronin didn't call timeout. You know, it's daunting when you're on the other end and you don't get a timeout to set your team. And they got exactly what they wanted. You know, Juzang going to the hoop, and I thought the call was a good call. I thought it was a charge, and I thought Timmy did a great job of taking it. But they dodged a bullet, and I think there's momentum that comes from that,
yeah.
At least from my experience. And so all that being said, this game's going to be a crazy one tonight. It could go a lot of different ways, but I think it actually – it certainly doesn't hurt Gonzaga, let's put it that way.
Baylor, I mean, this is a game that we wanted to see back in December, and it got canceled due to COVID. But the one thing that – when we rarely see this in the NCAA tournament in a one-and-done format, but you really do have the two best teams playing for the national championship. And I think that's great to see, and I don't know how it's going to go. I actually, before the tournament, picked Baylor to win this game. I don't know if that's going to hold or not, but – I mean, am I right in saying that these are the two best teams in college basketball playing?
There's no question. And if you've watched, I've watched Gonzaga a ton, but I've actually watched Baylor probably 10 times this year. And it really does depend tonight on what kind of offensive team Baylor comes out with. I thought they were sensational the other night offensively, and I actually talked about that game. I thought there's a chance that Houston-Baylor game could have been first team to 40 wins, you know, because I've seen those teams really lock other teams down, but I've also seen them struggle a little bit offensively at times, and Baylor certainly didn't the other night. You mentioned the December cancellation. I actually think that works in Gonzaga's favor, because if you look at it one of two ways, if Baylor would have beat Gonzaga, then, you know, the pressure would be solely on Gonzaga to prove that they could beat him the second time, right?
Yeah.
If Gonzaga blows Baylor out or beats Baylor, then it's just a foregone conclusion that, hey, the Zags are undefeated. They're the better team. I think the fact that Baylor did not get to see them, did not get a crack at them, and really are staring at the kind of the – this undefeated kind of anomaly, you know, I think it actually, the mystique factor almost plays in Gonzaga's favor, but Baylor is deeper, I think, and more physical. They're getting it from everywhere. They're bringing guys off the bench, just one right after the other. big guys that just fill just a crazy amount of space. I'm going to go with Gonzaga tonight. I think that just by virtue of the game they won the other night, the way they won it, I think it might be in the cards for them to win it all this year.
Coach, changing gears a little bit now, talking about Utah Jazz taking on the Dallas Mavericks tonight on the road. And Dallas just rested Porzingis against Washington on Saturday night. They've had some really good wins. Obviously, the one time they've seen the Jazz have got the win over Dallas. But take us into this matchup tonight. How important is it? How well does Dallas match up with the Jazz? And what should we expect?
Well, I remember, you know, I think back of the game they played here in Salt Lake, and it was in the midst of the Jazz on one of their long win streaks. And I just remember the thought I had was that I'm not sure that this Mavericks team, as presently put together, can physically match with the Jazz. The Jazz really had their way that night. Now, that being said, Dallas is playing better now, and certainly when Luka plays, you know, you've got to respect his ability, because he can pretty much dominate a game. And so I think all these games are really important right now. I mean, what we're looking at for the first time in franchise history is the Jazz are positioned right now with 24 games left, 23 games left. I lost track of that last, but it's 24, 23 games left. That they're positioned to be have the best record in the entire NBA and home court throughout. Now, that's usually a huge thing, but I think this year it's even bigger. And I think all you got to do is look at the fact that the Jazz have not lost at home all of 2021. You know, they're on a special kind of roll here, and the fans have been able to kind of see it, you know. Not fans not everywhere are being able to watch their teams play live, so it's a great thing. But this game tonight, the importance of it is the Jazz just stay in a position where they're beating good teams. They have a great record against teams that are above 500. This team is 27-21 tonight, and they've got some weapons. You know, Porzingis, you mentioned, will be rested. Doncic is, in my mind, one of the great players in the league right now. But they've got a guy like, you know, other guys that can really kind of go off like a Hardaway. And guys you've got to kind of be, you've got to be concerned about, worried about. But if the Jazz play their game, the Jazz are able to, you know, kind of put their physical stamp on this game like they did last time, I think they'll be in a great spot.
The great Tim Lacombe joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. You talk about, and I shared this stat, one of David Locke's interns, broadcast interns, brought this or tweeted this out, and it just kind of shows you the kind of season the Jazz are having so far, where you look at longest winning streaks in the NBA this season. The Nets had an 8-game winning streak, the Bucks had an 8, the Hawks had an 8, and then the Jazz had a 9. Then the Jazz have had a 10, which they're currently on right now, and they also have had 11-game winning streak. The three longest winning streaks this year in the NBA are owned solely by the Utah Jazz. How much, and you know, back in your day at BYU, when you have that freight train running, and it just seems like every night you're getting double-digit victories or you're having double-digit leads, does it just kind of feed off each other and it just keeps rolling like that sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes it does. It's interesting. The one time, you know, I guess the two times the Jazz looked human this year were out of the gates. You know, they got kind of off to a slow start at 4-4, and then it went on one of the crazy win streaks you talk about. I believe they did. Was it the 11 right out of there, or maybe it was the 9 right out of there.
But, yeah.
The thing that I constantly think about is how consistently good you've got to be to do what they're doing. And again, it's, you know, it's not like they're playing G League teams. They're playing NBA teams every night. So I think there's a couple staggering things to take from that. Like you said, the three long winning streaks, I'm looking at Dallas right now, throughout their whole season. And right now they're on their they've tied their longest win streak with four. They've done that a few times this year, but that's the most they've won in a row. They've won now Oklahoma City, Boston, New York, and Washington going into this game against the Jazz. But for the Jazz to do 11-10-9, it just speaks to the consistency and really how good these guys have been. The thing that I've really noticed is, and it, you've seen it when guys miss games, but everybody else kind of just does their job. And to me, this team is really, at the end of the day, they're going to be as good as Donovan and Rudy Tatum. I think that that's fair to say because those two guys are playing at an elite level. But beyond that, you know, the Conleys, the Ingles, the Clarksons, the Bogdanoviches, you know, those guys that Royce O'Neal, you know, they just all have to kind of pitch in and do their job. And each of them have a pretty different role. Mike's is to get the guys, you know, playing together. And Royce is to guard the best player and make open shots. And Jordan Clarkson's is to come in and just try to change the game by putting pressure on the other team offensively. Bogdanovich is a guy who can at times really affect the game from an isolation perspective in the post. So I think that all of these things being said, what comes out of this more than anything to me is just how consistently good this team's been. They really haven't had, you know, crazy slides, but they did out of the gate and they did after the All-Star break. But when they've been able to play as a team and get in a rhythm, you know, great things have happened. So this, certainly that bodes well for the rest of this regular season. And then obviously there's a stopping point and the playoffs, then you got to get started again. So hopefully the Jazz can hit that last seam without any kind of interruption and they can continue to play the way they're playing.
Coach, you think about all the different kinds of amazing meats there are out there. You think about good ribs or burnt ends, a really solid brisket. You think about all your different steaks, you know, your ribeyes, and you could go to Tri-Tips. I cooked a prime rib over the weekend. The prime rib, medium rare, with creamy horseradish and au jus dipping sauce is my favorite meat and preparation of meat there is in the world. What is your favorite meat? In fact, I'll let you do a three-meat combo, but you can take it all into account. Fish, chicken, pork, beef.
But just know if you have fish on there, we're going to think a lot less of you.
Yeah, unless it's deep fried, battered and deep fried. But give me your three-meat combo, Coach. And I'm talking any steaks, any meat, any preparation.
Are you screwing with me today? Like, this is the second time you've just come out of left field with a I'm all down.
You've always got to be ready.
Okay, I'm ready. Well, I'd say I'm really a big fan of canned ham. I'm just joking.
Spam, huh?
We could have some spam on there. That'd be great.
Canned ham, no. My favorite, I'm a pretty simple guy. I don't, you know, I remember going to Sizzler back in the day with Mike Doliak after Mike had gotten to the league, and I didn't realize it was quite a journey for Mike to have to go in as an NBA player into a Sizzler, but I didn't think much of it. And we were eating, and he's like, "Man, this meat's not great." And
I'm like, "That Malibu chicken right there."
This meat's not great. Nothing against Sizzler, of course. It's meat. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, "You ever been to Ruth Chris? You ever been to Fleming's? And I'm like, gosh, Mike, you're being affected by all this. But then I went to Ruth Chris, and I will say there's a major difference. So, whereas I'm not a huge meat guy, like I typically just say whatever's thrown in front of me. I think if I had to choose, I would get a filet. I would get I'd probably get a petite filet. Pink in the center, and then you've got to have, you know, you've got to have your sides. And I think I'm a huge mac and cheese guy with steak for some reason. I like a little mac and cheese, brother.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm a huge sauce dude. I mean, you can throw sauce at me from any continent, any spice, and I'll give her a try. So
we're going to
I'm a good guy to have over because I'm easy, and I like food, but I'm not like obsessed with it like you guys are.
Well, there will be a Zone staff barbecue this summer, and you will be invited, and we will open your eyes a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, we gotta help. We gotta unless that petite filet is Oscar, I don't know, man.
All I know is I hear petite filet, and I'm thinking that's a side, you know.
Yeah, so
well, I can never quite finish the medium, you know? And I wish I could say, like, I'm watching my figure, but we all know that's not true.
Oh, you're svelte, man.
I'm big as a house right now. So.
Well, I thought I'd throw the curveball at you, Coach. Thank you.
Hans, what's your favorite? No, I was just going to come up with some wacky question out of the blue, but I'll work on that for next week.
You have something ready for me. You have something ready for me, Coach. I'll roll with whatever you got.
We'll make it work.
AC/DC or Metallica?
AC/DC.
Metallica.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's a tough question.
I think I may have thrown this out at you already. Best Def Leppard song? Because I'm going Photograph.
Best Def Leppard song? High and Dry.
Okay.
I told you I'm a B-side guy.
No, I know. That's all good.
Hold on. You answer that. Metallica or AC/DC?
Metallica.
Love Metallica.
Way more to it and a whole lot more anger. AC/DC was just trying at the end of the day to get free booze and a couple broads back with them.
That's fun Metallica, music, though.
Like they're trying to change, you know, they're trying to change people's minds.
I know. That's a problem. Like, hey, I don't want to be angry. I want to have some fun. Let's relax
and
here
totally
a little bit.
I totally get it. You do. You are you're more of a. I could see you with a top hat on and you know, yeah, cane
But if I'm looking for fun,
Malcolm and Angus.
If I'm looking for fun, I'm going to like Cypress Hill or you know some maybe some New Kids on the Block.
I did go to a Snoop Dogg show. That was sensational.
Hopefully BYU wasn't drug testing after that with a contact high that you might have got there.
They weren't, but he did bring out the world's largest bong onto the stage. I'd never seen anything quite like it. I had to put it on wheels.
Wow. Well, Coach, we appreciate it as always. We'll throw some other curveball at you next week, but we appreciate the insight as always.
You two are awesome. Have a great week.
You Thanks, got Coach. It. Tim Lacombe. Longtime BYU assistant coach, was on the Utah staff as well, and now on our Jazz pre, half, and post game shows. Yeah, I could see you as a Metallica guy for sure.
Love Metallica, man.
Just because you're angry.
Yeah, I can get into myself on that and just start really just hating everything. And
sleep with one eye open. It's like, hey, man, come on. Can we just relax a little bit?
Oh, I love Metallica. Oh, that's a really – but sure. That's still a good question because I love AC/DC too. I love them. I'll pump AC/DC all day, every day. But there's something about Metallica. Who do you think would win in that poll question? Should I put that
Ooh,
one
Oh, that's a good one. Probably Metallica.
Lloyd, are you AC/DC or Metallica guy?
How about this?
Metallica.
How about
Metallica.
This? AC/DC, Metallica, or let's throw a little GNR in there. Because I would go Guns N' Roses over all of them.
I'd go Guns N' Roses over all of them. Guns N' Roses.
That's a nice combination. They got a little anger to them.
All right. That's the poll question. I'm putting the poll question out at 975 Hants.
Or Short Circuit.
All right. Coming up next, Good, the Bad, the Ugly. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Mojo.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
How scary was it with that flight for you?
I don't want to say that I'm just happy to be here, but it was scary. I've played professionally since I was 17, and I've never been through something like that. For my kid's life, I, for a good few minutes there, was like, we're going down. I think everyone on the plane at some point for some amount of time was praying or whatever they were doing, hoping that we were going to stay afloat. The pilot came over eventually and kind of explained what happened, and him being as calm as he was a little bit annoying because we were all crapping our dacks, but he was pretty calm and I think kind of settled everyone down. So very scary experience, and I hope it happens to no one ever again because it wasn't fun. Yeah, it definitely rattled the group a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time for your good, the bad, the ugly, brought to you by Zero Res. Get your carpets clean, $33 per room. Look, spring is coming. You've had kids and pets drag in the dirt and the muck all winter long, and now it's time to get it taken care of. Call Zero Res today, 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376. Now my computer froze up. 801-288-9376. There we go. All right, the good is you are about to get 2 weeks of Aaron Rodgers hosting Jeopardy. And I'm actually really excited about this. I will watch this.
Too. I can't wait. I already like Jeopardy. Like, it's already fun to kind of sit back, learn a little trivia, watch people compete with their intelligence. I always am shocked by the amount that somebody can actually retain and know. It blows me away to see it, Scotty, because it's not one of those dumb, mindless game shows. Like, these people that are on Jeopardy are literally the most brilliant people, the ones that compete and do
well.
They're the most brilliant. You have to know a little bit, or you've got to know a lot about everything. It's not even a little bit about everything. You got to know a lot about everything. Whether it's sports, like you and I could go on and probably hit a couple of categories.
Yeah.
You know, if it's popular meats, popular sports.
Cuts of meat.
Yeah, cuts of meat. like if it's, you know, there's some things, but very rarely do I see a category on the board and I'm like, got it.
Yeah.
That's mine. I would do that one. Like maybe once every 15 or 20 boards, there's something on the board that I would be really confident about.
Listen to this. He talked about his prep. He said, I watched hours and hours and hours of episodes. Luckily, Netflix has a few seasons, and I went back to my DVR as well. But I had to watch it from a different perspective, from Alex's perspective. I couldn't watch it as a fan anymore. I took pages and pages and pages of notes. I wrote down every affirmative that he gave to any type of clue. I wrote down how he would respond if they didn't get it right. I wrote down beat points of the show. I wrote down all the different ways he would take it to break. I wrote down the stuff that he said coming out of break. Literally, I studied for this like no other. I've never studied for a game like I studied for this. I absolutely wanted to crush it.
So when's his first episode?
Today, I believe. April 5th. Now, these are all pre-recorded. So this has been in the can for a while.
But I'm glad that you're talking about it now that it's debuting, not that they're recording. Because then it's like, oh, but when do we get to see? Oh, it's 5 months out.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, I don't want to wait 5 months. So you're going to get to watch Aaron Rodgers. Okay. So, Scotty, Jeopardy premiered in... You want to take a guess the year that it premiered?
I think the first one was like in the 60s, something like that, 62, 63.
1964.
Wow.
They've had over 10,000 episodes. There's only one game show that has been around longer that is currently active. Can you name it?
One game show longer?
That is currently active.
Price is Right.
Did you say that on air?
I was thinking about Price is Right, but I'm like, no, that came
that
later.
That's been going a really long time, though.
Premiered in 1956.
The Price is Right?
Yes.
Wow. You know what? That's my all-time dream job right there, by the way, is host a game show.
Well, you're beloved, and really you don't do a lot.
No, it's pretty easy.
Like Drew Carey, he jumped in for Bob Barker and made a run at this. If Jeopardy came to Aaron Rodgers and said, we want you full time, I think he would quit football before you could snap your fingers.
He can throw fastballs. He can throw slow balls, high balls, low balls.
He can. He absolutely can. But I think he would leave for Jeopardy in a – that. By the way, that was his fiance, Shailene Woodley.
Yeah.
And she knows nothing about football. And somebody was asking her, so what does your fiance do? And that was her answer.
Yeah. Apparently the only reason she started dating him was because the dog was really going to like him.
Because he could throw a ball really far for her dog. And then she said, I don't even know the football player guy. I just know him as kind of being a kind of a geeky, nerdy guy. And I like him.
He just sometimes leaves for work, and I have no idea where he's going.
Unbelievable. He would leave for Jeopardy so fast. I would too, man. If I was in the NFL and had a chance to jump into Jeopardy, I'm gone.
I would do it in a second. I would love it.
Well, we were just talking about it. What made Alec Trebek so lovable?
That's the thing. Like, you know, look, we all felt like when he passed, it was like, oh man, this really stinks. And then you're like, well, why didn't, you know, what made him so good? And it's not like he's a guy that you want to hang out with. Like, I can't imagine Alec Trebek was a guy that you'd want to sit and watch a game with and drink a Coke Zero with. He wasn't like he was funny, but he was really dry humor. For whatever reason, it just worked with him.
In fact, there were times where he would, you know, when he goes after the people, sorry, you're wrong. Like, he just treats them like, you should know that. And it's like, well, you have the card right there, Alex.
I know. He looks down on you. Like,
he used to look down on people. It's like,
embarrassed
for
you.
You got the card right there, Alex. Come on. Of course you know.
All right, you could host one game show. Which would you host? Jeopardy?
I don't want The Price is Right because people are too crazy and weird and jump up and down.
Agreed.
I don't like that. It'd probably be Jeopardy.
Wheel of Fortune?
I don't want Wheel of Fortune. It would be Jeopardy, yeah.
I think it'd be Jeopardy. It's the most respectable, it seems, of all the game shows.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. It's the one that has certainly the most kind of credibility. Like, you go on Jeopardy, you win Jeopardy, you're like, wow, that's really cool. You go win Price is Right, they're like, okay, you're kind of a weirdo. Because only weirdos really go on Price is Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to wear some, like, sweatshirt with, I was going to say Bob Barker, but Drew Carey's face on it or something like that.
With sequins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants that. All right, hands of Scotty, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Well, Major League Baseball taking the All-Star game and moving it from Georgia has kind of started a trickle-down effect. Did you see that the Texas governor now, Greg Abbott, he announced that he will not be throwing out a first pitch for the Texas Rangers in their home opener. He was asked to throw out their first pitch. Obviously, Greg Abbott, the state of Texas, loves them some Greg Abbott. And he was scheduled to throw out the first pitch, and he said, nope. This is what he said. He said, I was looking forward to throwing out the first pitch at the Texas Rangers home opening game until Major League Baseball adopted what has turned out to be a false narrative about Georgia's election law reforms. It is shameful that America's pastime is being influenced by partisan politics. So Greg Abbott will not throw out the first pitch. And again, now sports becomes even more polarizing. It's tough, man. It's a tough world to live in right now with professional sports, but Greg Abbott is having none of it.
Yeah. Well, and this is, you know, look, I mean, this is the world we live in. You know, it certainly is well within the parameters of where we live in this country we live in for people to pressure Major League Baseball to make a move like this. It's certainly Major League Baseball's right to do what they did and pull their All-Star game. And it certainly is, you know, the governor of Texas is right not to throw out a first pitch. You know, that's everybody's doing well within their rights of
to do what they're doing.
To do what they're doing.
There is something beautiful about that. Now, obviously, it's polarizing because it's going to hurt 50-50 one way or the other, whether you're for Major League Baseball withdrawing from Georgia because of some of their election reform, or you're in favor of Greg Abbott not throwing out the first pitch. Look, This is our country in action. 100%, this is our country in action. It's just sometimes in sports, I would rather just watch a baseball game and not have it be so polarizing.
Yeah.
But he also went on, he said that he will not participate in an event held by Major League Baseball and that the state of Texas will not seek to host any All-Star games or any other Major League Baseball special events. So he kind of went all in. He went just a little further than saying, I'm not going to throw the pitch, but also as a state, we're not looking to host any of these things. So these things can heal. They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
It just takes some time.
All right, there's your bad. And finally, let's get to the ugly.
And of course, the ugly.
Tampa Bay Buccaneer cornerback Carlton Davis sent out a tweet containing an anti-Asian slur on Sunday night. Has since apologized as he did not realize the term's deeply hurtful meaning. He also apologized in subsequent tweets for using the slur, said he thought the term meant lame. Said, I would never offend any group of people, he wrote in a tweet accompanied by an image from an undisclosed slang dictionary entry. You reporters can look for another story to blow up. This term was directed towards a producer claiming he ran Miami. With that said, I'll retire that word from my vocabulary, given the hard times our Asian family are enduring. How about you retire the word just because it's the right thing to do? I used a term that from where I came from was always meant lame, but I did not realize it had a much darker negative connotation. I've learned a valuable lesson, and I want to apologize to anyone that was offended by seeing that word because we need to focus on helping each other during these tough times. All right, so, you know, I believe him when he says that. I also hope that a lot of people are given that same kind of leeway and are forgiven when they make mistakes, because our vernacular terms, you know, things that you think are fine to say, sometimes we realize afterwards are not okay to say. And then to say, look, I'm sorry, I didn't know that was a bad term. I'd used that. I didn't know the roots of that word before. I apologize, and I would hope that we as a society are at a point where, like, you know what? All right, you know what? We get that. Don't ever use it again. And that we can move on from that. Because I think that's happened to, unfortunately, a lot of people that have lost employment, lost livelihoods, and have lost a lot of opportunities in this world because of using a word that maybe at one point in their life they thought was fine and then realized that, okay, I did not know the root of where that word came from, and now I know, and I would like to move on from this and still be employed and still be able to pull a paycheck.
Yep. Well, you know, I'm grateful for second chances. Always have been.
Yeah.
And, I think all of us have made stupid mistakes out of immaturity, maybe some out of ignorance. It's hard to believe that he didn't know what that word was. I mean,
I'm with you on that. That's a pretty obvious, like, I think most people hear that word, and I would say 95% know that that's an Asian
pejorative,
yeah,
very slang,
ugly, nasty, ugly word.
Well, has anybody picked up Myers Leonard?
No,
he's still
out there,
still out of the league, isn't he?
Correct. Now he's got an injury he's rehabbing from, and when he gets healthy, then
maybe
we'll see what happens.
But obviously, some pretty dramatic. Turns of events for Myers Leonard after using I guess it was an anti-Semitic term, correct?
Yeah.
A term that was connected to the Jewish people. And it took a lot of heat and obviously was instantly distanced from the league and fined and is currently floating around. I'm with you, Scotty. I would really like to see all of this start to slow down a bit. All of this, cancel them, done, over, can't deal with it, can't have it. We all got to learn. We all have learning moments in our life.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one was brutal. You know, it's not like he kind of just threw it out there. He said, we got to keep these beep out of Miami.
Yeah.
That isn't a confusion. Like, even if he was meaning it as lame, it's kind of like, yeah, but it's still a reference towards a group of people.
Yeah.
But I think that all of us just need to realize that we're all out here making mistakes every single day.
Yeah. Yep.
Every one of us. So can we stop canceling people just because they're in the spotlight for a minute? I hope Myers Leonard finds his way back to the NBA. And I hope that at some point people can forgive this NFL player.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know if I've told this story.
He'll learn a lesson.
Yeah, he'll learn a lesson pretty quick on this. You know, and I think it's it's an opportunity for all of us to kind of look back and kind of reference some of the words we use and kind of do some research and say, okay, wait a minute, what's the background in this? What's the background in this? And try to have an opportunity to learn more about what we can and we can't say. But that word,
that one was always
that one.
Lloyd, were you? You know a word he used. Yeah. I mean, have you ever been confused on that word? Yeah. I would say the one that Myers Leonard used, I was less familiar with than this one.
I'd agree with that. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Hans and Scotty, coming up next, whole world news straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.
With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Kristen Kenny on the Big Show.
What is it that's different about Donovan this season as opposed to last season?
I think he's made a concerted effort to have better starts. He's talked about that. He always has been that guy that you can rely on down the stretch. You want that guy that can show up in those big moments and drain that crucial clutch three. But what about from the jump? He's made it a priority, and you see that point production double. And I think having more strong starts and consistent play through all four quarters, to me, that's the difference maker.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. You've got you and me, brother, in our hands. You've got you and me, sister, in our hands. You've got you and me, brother.
Welcome back, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 12 to the Zone. Whole World News brought to you by Elite Works, the good friends of EliteWorks.com. They are a website builder. They are a website hoster. They will save you thousands of dollars. If you have a website that you need to have rebuilt, call them, 844-523-2777. They will rebuild your website for free. That's right, for free. If you've got a website, you need it to have more function, 844-523-2777. If you need a new site built, they can do that as well. 844-523-2777. Any site that you need, they're going to build it, and they're going to do it more affordably. Again, a web builder and a web hosting software. That's EliteWorks at 844-523-2777. And, Scotty, we don't have really any time for Whole World News, but I do want to share this quick story with you.
Yes.
This 23-year-old kid was arrested in Kansas by the Kansas Highway Patrol. The officers don't have a petition, so they just put handcuffs on him, and they actually set him in the front seat as they were taking him downtown to be booked. And as they're driving to take him downtown, the officer comes up on a motorbike accident that had just happened. So he stops the car, gets out to go help the person that just wrecked on this motorbike. This 23-year-old, with his hands behind his back, scoots to the driver's side and continues on a pursuit of speeds well over 100 miles per hour over a 30-mile span. And Scotty, the cops could not catch this guy.
Wow.
Handcuffed. Speeds well over 100 miles per hour. Going for 30-plus miles. Guess what finally got him? The patrol car ran out of gas. he ran out of gas. And that's the only reason they caught this guy.
He's just driving with his knee?
He was driving with his knees.
Wow.
Yeah. One knee up on the steering wheel, the foot down on the gas pedal, and he was doing 100 plus for over 30 miles before he ran out of gas. They say if he wouldn't have ran out of gas, they don't know what it would have happened, because this guy was just killing it with his driving skills. And obviously in a patrol car, you know, they got all kinds of hop and speed. And he threw the lights on, so he looked like he was a patrol, just so everybody was pulling off the side. And
yeah, so he wasn't?
No. He was just he was just off the races. But they got him because his gas. And you know, the dude that got out to help the motorbike accident,
yeah,
you know he's just sick.
Yeah. See, I have a story here, and I can't tell it for two reasons. Number one, we got to go to break because Jerry Palm joins us next.
Well,
and
we could probably delay.
And number
bit.
Two, if I were to tell this story, it would be up there with the
what?
The false signatures and
yeah, and the not
dancing?
The pipe bomb. It was like a
it was a pipe bomb.
It wasn't a pipe bomb.
Yeah, it was a pipe bomb.
Hey, mark this, Lloyd. We'll bring this up. We'll get this story.
Yeah, we need it.
Everybody needs this story. What'd you do?
It's not important. Jerry Palm joins us next.
Did you steal a motorbike?
Motorcycle? No, I did not steal
what
a motorbike.
What do they call it? Motorcycle or motorbike? What was I told not to call it? Motorbike.
Oh, yeah. Well, people got really fired up about that.
I'm not supposed to call it a motorbike, I think.
All right, Jerry Palm joins us next, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.